This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Show us your word, Lord, clearly. Help us hear how welcome we are, and give us the courage to respond in love. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, this is one of those gospels. All are invited, we're told, and many are called, but few are chosen. So it's like some big kickball game that we're all invited to, and we stand there, and we hope to get chosen for the teams. Any of you experienced that when you were growing up? You know, the captains are there choosing. There were many times where I was one of the last ones. Excruciating. Do PE coaches and teachers still do that? I hope not. I hope not. These two things at the end of this gospel, these two major points, are what this great Bible teacher, Kathy Grebe, used to say, is where the shoe pinches the foot. And she said, and I quote, "In Bible study, dig deeply into the text and find that place where the shoe pinches the foot." Well, these are the places where it pinches mine. I don't mind telling you. These are the parts I'd like to ignore. We'll take them one at a time. First of all, and the two points are this: many are called, but few are chosen, and then this guy who doesn't have the right clothes on and is thrown out. Okay, those are the two points. But first of all, many are called, but few are chosen. You know, you hear that at first glance, and you think, I thought Christianity was about everyone being accepted, unconditional love and acceptance. So how can only a few be chosen? How is that? This line of scripture used to be quoted regularly by a temporary priest, what we call an interim priest, that was here for a short while, many, many years ago, and he would stand up at the invitation to communion, and he would say that. Many are called, few are chosen. Used to drive me crazy. I judged him for that. And I didn't like it one bit. Not in my church. I didn't want people coming here thinking that they had to earn God's grace. Thinking that there was something that they weren't doing good enough. No, thank you. We do that good enough to ourselves, right? We beat ourselves up enough without coming to church and hearing that kind of thing. Well, I'm embarrassed to tell you that I need to cut him some slack. Because as hard as it is for me to admit, in my exploration, I see a new understanding of this. I'll explain. As we've been talking about, if you've been here the last couple weeks, today is the third story that Jesus told in answer to one question. He told three parables in a row, right? Remember this? He was in town his days before his death. He goes right into the temple after his glorious entry into Jerusalem. He casts out the people that are using it for profit, and he begins healing and teaching. And the question the chief priests and the elders ask him is, by what authority are you doing what you're doing? Healing and teaching as if you're God Almighty, they might have said. And the answer Jesus gives in these three parables, today's being the third one, he could exactly say that. Yeah, that's right, I am God Almighty. In the first two stories, God is compared to this generous landowner, and all he wants is for his family and the tenants who now lease his property to honor it, to honor this amazing inheritance that they have accepted, to say, yes, I will care for this life. Yes, I will take care of others. So you hear this for us as well, right? This glorious, glorious vineyard that we live in, that we have all the time, that's what God wants us to be saying. And when we do, to be able to then give back the fruits of the produce of this great farm, And the produce is the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? That's what God wants back. Those were the first two stories. But today, he gets even more basic. He tells them, these chief priests and elders who are about to put him to death, and all of us, that every single person is invited to the wedding banquet. Everyone is invited. That's why we have Holy Communion every week. And that's why Jesus told all of us 2 days later at the Last Supper, do this in remembrance of me. Realize that you're all invited. In every moment of every day, we have that decision to make, whether to follow the Holy One or not. Or not. And God does not force his will on any of us. That's the beauty and also the challenge. He didn't with any of the famous people in the Bible. He just said, come and see. Come unto me, all of you who are tired. All of you are burdened. Just come to this wedding feast. My daily prayer buddy, Oswald Chambers, that I quote all the time from his little book, My Utmost for His Highest, wrote about this particular line, and he says, and I quote, the call of God is not just for a select few, but for everyone, and whether I hear God's call or not depends on the condition of my ears, and exactly what I hear depends upon my spiritual attitude. How receptive are we? And then he says, many are called, but few are chosen. That is, few respond that they are the chosen ones. Big difference. Big difference. That's why I love this guy. He just is this great, respected by all of the major denominations in Christianity. We are the ones that make that decision. And so we've been invited. But there comes a time when we have to choose. We've got to do something. We've got to open that door from the inside. It's an inside job. All right, so that's that. So we've been invited. So what is the deal with this guy who gets kicked out because he doesn't have the right clothes on? That is not the message here. It absolutely is not. The slaves followed the direction, went out into the streets, brought in everybody, because the king said to bring in all, good and bad alike, bring them all in. And so they did exactly that. Went out, brought them in, and now this guy's sitting there. He doesn't have the wedding robe on. And the king comes over and says, what are you doing here? And the guy is speechless. Of course he didn't have the proper clothes on. He'd just been dragged in from the street. So you know it's not about that. We have to remember that the writings of these texts are Middle Easterners in the first century. In the first century, and they use metaphor and holy hyperbole to get our attention. It's like making us turn around and say, wait, what? Wait, what? Let's go back there for a minute. That's what a parable is. That's how Jesus taught, to make us pay attention and say, what was that about? The message is this, once you're at the table, once you're in the kingdom, once you come to the party, God wants us to respond, to respond. And this metaphor of how we're clothed is throughout the Bible. Paul wrote about it, and he said, above all, be clothed in love. Be clothed in love. We can't go on once you're invited. Once you know, you can't go on acting like we've been acting. Once we know how much we are wanted, we'll always be wanted. How much we are loved. Because, my brothers and sisters, you are deeply, deeply loved by a God so much greater than we could ever imagine. So, what if you've just been feeling all beat up by life? And you're thinking, okay, well, that sounds well and good, but I don't see how it relates to me. How am I supposed to say yes in the midst of everything that I'm going through? Maybe financial burdens, maybe relationship issues. Maybe you're real fearful because of everything going on in the world when you listen to the news. A I was talking to somebody the other day that is absolutely paralyzed about thinking about ISIS all the time. It can get that way for all of us, depending on what we're fearful of or what we're going through, and it consumes us. And I agree with the guy in the video that I'm about to show you. His name is Trent Shelton. He makes videos mainly for people in rehab, but this particular video is for all of us who feel like we just don't know how to say yes. Let's watch this video.
Hey, what's up, rehabbers across the world? Trent here. This message video is for that person that feels empty, for that person that thinks waking up is a curse more than it is a blessing, for that person that gives their all but still comes up short, for that person searching for something that they're starting to believe no longer exists. Every opinion, suggestion is telling you to be strong, but how? When you can't find strength. Every opinion, suggestion is telling you to pray, but how? When your faith is so weak. You feel too broken to be repaired, too hurt to be healed, too lost to be found. It's hard to believe moving forward will help when your path has been paved with nothing but pain. When your path has been paved with nothing but disappointment, nothing but regret. You're starting to feel like there's no purpose for your life, especially when the people that you love have given up on you. And you're starting to feel like there's only one thing left to do, which is give up on yourself. But before you make that decision, I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how broken you may be. I don't care the mistakes that you made. I want you to know this. You're never too imperfect for God. He can use your brokenness to rebuild a better you. His power is made perfect in your weakness. So with God, where you are confused, there you can also have peace. With God, where you are lonely, there you can also feel love. With God, where you are hopeless, there you can also have faith. There's no need to quit because God's grace is sufficient for you. And I'll leave you with this, and it might not make no sense to you right now. Your power doesn't rest in your strength. It rests in your weakness. So with God, where you are weak, there you can also be strong. You make sure to hold on to 2 Corinthians 12:9. So during those moments, you know God got you. But like I tell you, in every single video, it all starts with you. Keep moving forward. Let nothing hold you back. You connect me on all social sites at Trent Shelton, Snapchat, Rehab Time. You live it, you breathe it, you be it. It's Rehab Time. Let's get it. Never forget.
That Corinthians quote he mentioned is about being strong in our weakness, allowing God to help us. Never give up. Keep saying yes to God's invitation of life, even in the face of fear. Last week, I was thrilled to learn that the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize is shared by two people. One is Malala Yousafzai of Pakistan, and Kailash Satyarthi of India is the other one. We've talked about Malala here before. I mean, I am so excited that they won because Malala has been saying yes to God in a huge way. In 2012, when she was 15, she was shot in the head and neck by a member of the Taliban as she rode home from school on her school bus. She'd been targeted for being outspoken about the rights girls to be educated. That was it. That was it. Critically injured, she was taken to a hospital in the UK and recovered. And ever since then, she's been going to school in the UK and traveling all over, working for the rights of education for girls and women in her own country and elsewhere. And she's making a huge difference. Huge difference. If you haven't heard her talk, Google her. The other guy, Kailash, has been saying yes to the kingdom of God for his whole adult life, helping thousands and thousands and thousands of children who have been exploited in human trafficking and rescuing them and making a difference. These are not people that are different than you and I, and they're making that difference. And so you might be sitting there saying, okay, but I don't know if I could do that, but what could I do? When you feel that fear creeping in, immediately have some kind of a Bible verse that you can go to, some kind of a mantra, some kind of a picture. With God, all things are possible. Or the one that Trent talked about. In my weakness is my strength, because that's when God can come in and do it for us. That's when God rushes in and amazes us, absolutely amazes us with that power. And surrounding your people, yourself with people that will lift you up. And then you lift up others in response. That's the fruits of this beautiful vineyard. We have such an amazing God, such an amazing Jesus Christ, such an amazing Holy Spirit coursing through every cell of our being, just waiting for us to say yes. Amen.